জয়
Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Lila, Chapter 2. All glories to the beatific Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Sri Jagannath Mishra's son and the Supreme Lord of all. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, the life and soul of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Gadadhar Pandit. All glories to the shelter of Sri Advaita Acharya and the other devotees. All glories to Lord Sri Gauranga and his associates. One receives loving devotion to the Supreme simply by hearing transcendental topics about Lord Chaitanya. Again, I offer my obeisances at the Lord's lotus feet and at the lotus feet of all his associates, so that the pastimes of the Lord may appear on my tongue. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, the ocean of compassion. And all glories to Lord Nityananda, the embodiment of loving devotional service. The spiritual identities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda as brothers and as servitors of the Supreme Lord are unknown. Yet by their causeless mercy, their absolute identities were revealed. Lord Brahma was enlightened about the absolute truth by Lord Krishna's mercy. Srimad Bhagavatam and all Vedic scriptures describe this. May the Lord, who in the beginning of creation amplified the potent knowledge of Brahma from within his heart and inspired him with full knowledge of creation and of his own self, and who appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma, be pleased with me. In the beginning, Lord Brahma did not have the power to see anything, although he had been born on a lotus from the Lord's navel. But when he completely surrendered himself to the Supreme Lord, the Lord, by his causeless mercy, appeared before him. That same mercy enlightened Lord Brahma with absolute knowledge of the Supreme Lord, the origin of all incarnations. Thereafter, spontaneous, pure glorification of him sprang from Brahma's mouth. Without Lord Krishna's causeless mercy, it is impossible to know the truth about his incarnation. His supramundane pastimes are inconceivable and inaccessible. Lord Brahma described them in the Bhagavat Purana. O Lord of the universe, O Supreme Person, O Supreme Soul, O Lord of the mystics, how marvelous you are! Who within the three worlds can know when, where, why, and how you expand your internal spiritual potency, Yogamaya, and perform your transcendental pastimes? Who can fathom the ontological reason for your advent in this world? Therefore, I can only submit the conclusions of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavat Purana as reasons for your appearance. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself in order to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. Whenever religious practice becomes weak, irreligion gradually increases. Therefore, Lord Brahma and others humbly requested the Lord to appear and protect the pious and destroy the demons. in order to re-establish the religious process of the age. The Supreme Lord descended on the earth with his eternal associates. The religion for Kali Yuga is congregational chanting of the Lord's holy name, and in order to propagate this religious process, Lord Chaitanya appeared as the son of Mother Sachi. It is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the Supreme Absolute Truth, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, incarnated solely to propagate the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. O King Nimi, devotees always offer prayers to the Supreme Lord Hari, but now I will explain how the devotees in the Kali Yuga offer the choicest prayers accompanied by various rituals and regulations for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. In this age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord, who is accompanied by his associates by performance of Sankirtan Yajna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, propagated the essence of all religion for the age of Kali. Congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy name. Accompanied by his associates, he appeared in Kali Yuga simply to establish the religious practice of congregational chanting. According to his desire, his eternal associates appeared before him, taking birth as humans. Anantashesh, Shiva, Brahma, the sages and other associates of the Lord all took birth as highly elevated pure Vaishnava devotees, Bhagavats. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, knew everyone's position and identity. Most of them took birth in Navadvip. Yet some were born in Chattogram, Radhadesh or Srihat, and still others in Orissa. All these associates appeared in different places, but everyone met in Navadvip. Srivas Pandit, Sri Ram Pandit, and Sri Chandrasekhar are personalities worshipped in all three worlds. Sri Murari Gupta can cure the disease of material entanglement. Vaishnavas of this caliber appeared in Srihat. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the foremost Vaishnava devotee, Chaitanya Vallabha, who was very dear to Lord Chaitanya, and Vasudev Datta all appeared in Chattogram. Haridas Thakur appeared in Budhan. The village Ekachakra is in the Radhadesh district of Bengal. The Supreme Lord Nityananda made his appearance there. Lord Nityananda is factually the Supreme Father of all living entities, but to show mercy on Hadai Pandit, a Brahmin and pure devotee, he took birth as his son. Lord Nityananda is an ocean of mercy, the shelter of all Vaishnava devotees, and the giver of devotion. He appeared in the district of Radhadesh. Expressing their happiness at the appearance of Lord Nityananda, the demigods made joyous sounds and showered flowers. All this was performed unseen by ordinary mundane eyes. From the time of Nityananda's appearance, Radhadesh district grew more and more prosperous each day. Sri Paramananda Puri, who was Lord Chaitanya's close associate in Nilachala, appeared in Trihut in Mithila, Bihar. When the land on the banks of Mother Ganga are places of pilgrimage, why did the Vaishnava devotees appear in impious lands? Chaitanya himself descended on the banks of Mother Ganga. So why did his eternal associates appear in faraway places? In their travels, the Pandavas avoided countries devoid of the sound of the holy name of the Lord and the waters of Mother Ganga. Lord Krishna Chaitanya, being compassionate on the unfortunate souls born in those lands, arranged for the pure Vaishnava devotees to appear there. His own appearance was required simply to redeem the material world. In order to accomplish this, he arranged for his pure devotees to take birth in impious lands and in impious families. Wherever and in whichever family the pure Vaishnava devotee appeared, He was able to purify everyone in the vicinity by his pure spiritual potency. The birthplace of a pure Vaishnava becomes a place of pilgrimage. Therefore, the Supreme Lord Chaitanya arranged that his associates take birth in many different places. And although they were all born in different places, they met, as if by accident, in Navadvip. Lord Chaitanya's birthplace was Navadvip. Hence, Navadvip was the meeting place of all the devotees. The glory of Navadvip cannot be compared to any other place in the world. Knowing about Lord Chaitanya's descent in Navadvip, Providence made it a prosperous and flourishing town to receive the Lord. Who is capable of describing Navadvip's opulence? Hundreds of thousands crowded to bathe on the banks of the Ganga. By Goddess Saraswati's grace, residents of Navadvip of all different ages were learned exponents of the scriptures. The people were proud of their material knowledge. Even young boys argued logic with senior scholars. Students came from different parts of the country to study in Navadvip, because there they could get a taste for scholastics. The number of students in Navadvip was incalculable, and the exact count of professors was also undetermined. The residents were content, favored by the favorable glances of Rama, Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth. But they wasted their time spending money for sense pleasures and other worldly affairs. As they grew prouder and more materialistic, people's taste for devotional service to the Supreme Lord had decreased alarmingly, and the beginning of Kali Yuga had ushered in immoral activities. The only religious or devotional activities they knew were invocations to the demigods and demigoddesses, especially Durga Devi, and prayers for temporary material benedictions. Some arrogantly worshipped Manasa, the goddess of snakes. Others wasted huge amounts of wealth worshipping dolls. They squandered large sums on the marriages of their sons and daughters, and in this way, they wasted their human life. Even the so-called learned high priests, Bhattacharya, Chakravarti, and Mishra, etc., did not know the purpose of the scriptures. Though they taught the scriptures, their activities were contrary to scriptural injunction. So along with their students, they drowned in the deluge of iniquity. Nobody was engaged in explaining the imports of congregational chanting of Lord Krishna's holy name, the religion of Kali Yuga. They spent their time simply finding faults in others. As for the superstitious so-called renunciates and hermits, not a single name of God ever escaped their mouths. Those considered most pious in society were heard repeating the Lord's name Govinda or Pundarikaksha only once at the time of daily ablutions. Devotional perspectives were invariably absent in explaining transcendental literatures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vaishnava devotees of the Lord became distressed, seeing the mass engrossed in material existence under the external energy of the Lord. How can all these living entities be liberated? They are completely mesmerized by the myth of sense pleasures. Although people were requested to chant God's holy name, they refused, and instead they foolishly busied themselves acquiring fruitless material knowledge. The elevated Vaishnava devotees continued their devotional activities by worshipping Krishna, taking bath in the Ganga, and discussing Krishna-conscious topics. The Vaishnavas became moved to benedict humanity and prayed that Lord Krishna would quickly shower his mercy upon them. Foremost of the great Vaishnavas in Navadvip was Advaita Acharya, who was glorified throughout the world. The preeminent spiritual preceptor was the exponent on knowledge of the absolute science of devotion and renunciation. His delineation of Krishna-conscious topics equaled Lord Shiva's. His explanations on all existing scriptures arrived at the same conclusion. The essence of everything is devotion to Lord Krishna's lotus feet. He constantly worshipped Lord Krishna with great devotion, offering him tulsi blossoms and Ganga water. His intense attachment for Lord Krishna made him resound loudly in exultation, and the sound penetrated the coverings of the material world, passed the abode of Lord Brahma, and entered in Vaikuntha. Captured by the booming, ecstatic sound of Advaita Acharya's love, Lord Krishna appeared before his devotee. Advaita Acharya Prabhu was the leader of the Vaishnavas. His devotional service was the most glorious in Lord Brahma's planetary system. In that manner, Advaita Acharya spent his days in Navadvip. He suffered acute pain at the sight of persons bereft of devotional service. The people were all mad after mundane sense pleasures. No one was keen to worship or serve Lord Krishna. Some worshipped Vasuti, a female deity identified with Chandi, with many gifts, while others worshipped the Yakshas with flesh and wine. They drown in the endless tumult of singing, dancing, and music, their ears deaf to the nectarian call of the auspicious name of Lord Krishna. The demigods are not satisfied with worship from humans, which is ultimately not pleasing to Lord Krishna. Advaita Acharya, in particular, was extremely unhappy about such worship. Advaita Acharya Prabhu had a very compassionate nature. He was always thinking of how to liberate the conditioned souls. He thought, if my Lord descends, then he can liberate everyone. I can boast of being an incarnation of Lord Mahavishnu only if I can convince the Lord of Vaikuntha, Krishna, to appear in this world. And when that Lord of Vaikuntha descends in person, I shall sing and dance in joy and liberate all the conditioned souls. Considering matters in this way, he constantly worshipped the lotus feet of Krishna with undeviating resolve. Lord Chaitanya made his appearance because of Advaita Acharya Prabhu's sincere plea. The Lord himself often repeated this fact. Srivas Pandit and his three brothers were residents of Navadvip. They always chanted Lord Krishna's name, bathed in the Ganga, and worshipped Krishna thrice a day. Later, Lord Chaitanya performed many pastimes in Srivas's house. On the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, many of his eternal associates like Sri Chandrasekhar, Sri Jagadish, Sri Gopinath, Sriman, Sri Murari, Sri Garuda, and Sri Gangadas appeared before the Lord. In connection with these various incidents, I mention only those personalities known personally to me. Otherwise, to mention every individual would make this book bulky. Each one of the magnanimous devotees executed his spiritual duties and was concerned only with devotional services to Krishna. Each was unaware of the other's spiritual identities, yet they mixed intimately as confidential friends. Wherever they looked, they saw a world devoid of devotion, and their hearts were seared with sorrow. They found no one with any taste for the nectar of Lord Krishna's pastimes, so they simply glorified the Lord amongst themselves. They often spent several hours together in Sri Advaita Acharya's residence, discussing topics of Lord Krishna, and in this manner they dispelled all discontent. The devotees saw the world burning in the flames of material existence, and they found no occasion to inspire the people to an awareness of God. This caused them great sorrow. Sri Advaita Acharya joined the community of Vaishnavas in an attempt to make the people conscious of God, but not a soul understood them. Stricken with grief due to people's suffering, Sri Advaita Acharya began fasting. All the Vaishnavas sighed deeply at the situation. Why sing and dance for Krishna? What is the meaning of congregational chanting of the Lord's holy name? Who are the Vaishnavas? Gross materialistic people, running after wealth and family, do not comprehend any of these things. Indeed, such atheists only taunt and laugh at the Vaishnavas. As evening descended, Srivas Thakur and his three brothers would vociferously sing the Lord's name in their house. The atheistic neighbors vilified Srivas Thakur, pronouncing him mad. They declared that the entire village would be destroyed because of him. The tyrannical Muslim rulers would tear the village apart if they heard people loudly chanting God's name. Some envious neighbors said they would break down Srivas Thakur's house and float it down the river in order to get rid of him. When Srivas Thakur leaves, then only will the village be peaceful again. Otherwise, the Muslim rulers will torture us. When the saintly Vaishnavas heard such threats from the atheists, they simply wept, telling their sorrows to Lord Krishna. Sri Advaita Acharya burned with rage on hearing this news, and unconcerned with his state of undress, he addressed the Vaishnavas. Listen, Srivas Thakur, Sri Gangadas, and Sukumbar. I shall make Lord Krishna appear before everyone's eyes. Lord Krishna will come personally and liberate everyone. And along with all you Vaishnavas, the Lord will teach the atheists love of Godhead. And if I fail to keep my promise, I shall manifest my four-handed form and take up the disc. I shall sever the heads of all the atheists. Only then will I accept that Lord Krishna is my Lord and Master, and I am his proper servitor. Sri Advaita Acharya spoke extensively, and then resolving himself, he worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. The collective devotees also worshipped Lord Krishna's lotus feet with great attention and continuous tears. As the devotees went about their duties in Navadvipa town, nowhere did they find any discussion about God or devotion. This shocked the devotees with grief. Some contemplated leaving their bodies, while others sobbed Krishna's name, letting out deep, long sighs. So severe was their pain at the sight of the futile endeavors of a godless society that they lost all appetite. At last they renounced all material comfort, whereupon the Supreme Lord made preparations to descend to the material world. By the Supreme Lord's desire, Lord Nityananda, the origin of Lord Anantashesh, descended before him in the land called Radha. Lord Nityananda made his appearance in the world of Srimati Padmavati Devi on the auspicious 13th day of the waxing moon in a village called Ikachakra. Although he is the original Supreme Father of everyone, Nityananda allowed Sri Hadai Pandit, a pure and elevated Brahmin, to play the role of his father. The Supreme Lord Sri Balaram is an ocean of mercy and is the giver of pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. He has again appeared, this time with the name Nityananda. The denizens of heavenly planets secretly celebrated this occasion, showering flower confetti with tumultuous sounds of joy and praise. Lord Nityananda's appearance in the land of Radhadesh gradually increased that district's good fortune in every respect. The Supreme Personality, who appeared to liberate the fallen souls, took the dress of a mendicant and traveled everywhere. In this manner, Lord Ananta made his advent. Now hear descriptions of Lord Krishna's advent. Sri Jagannath Misra, the great transcendental personality, resided in Navadvipa. He was like Vasudev, Lord Krishna's father, always engaged in spiritual activities. He was magnanimous and possessed the best of all brahminical qualities. His qualities had no comparison in this world. Sri Jagannath Misra was of the same spiritual category as Kashyapa, Dasarath, Vasudev, or Nanda. His dedicated wife, Srimati Sachi Devi, was the embodiment of devotion to the Supreme Lord. She was the Universal Mother. All her 8 daughters passed away, and she was left with one greatly fortunate son, Vishwaroop. Sri Vishwaroop was as beautiful and charming as Cupid, and the source of joy for his parents. From birth, Sri Vishwaroop was materially renounced, and as a child, he mastered the different scriptures. The godlessness seen in the beginning of Kali Yuga was indicative of what the future had in store. The whole society would become bereft of devotional service. The Supreme Lord descends when religious principles decline, and he feels that his devotees are suffering. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, entered into the bodies of Srimati Sachi Devi and Sri Jagannath Mishra. Lord Ananta sang hymns praising the Lord. Sri Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi heard everything as if in a dream. Both husband and wife shone bright with spiritual radiance, yet ordinary eyes could not see. Lord Shiva, Brahma, and other demigods, understanding that the Supreme Lord was going to appear, came and offered prayers. These mystical pastimes of the Lord are all recorded, even in the great Vedic scriptures. The eulogies of Lord Brahma and others are most confidential knowledge, and hearing them will result in deep attachment for Krishna. All glories to the Supreme Lord Chaitanya, the maintainer of all. You have appeared to inaugurate the congregational chanting of the holy name. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, the protector of Vedic religion, saintly devotees, and pious Brahmins. You are the destroyer of non-devotees and death personified for the atheists. All glories to Lord Chaitanya. Your transcendental form is absolute, eternal, and full of bliss. You are the Supreme Lord of Lords, whose desires cannot be obstructed. You are unmanifest in millions and millions of universes, yet you manifest yourself in the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi. Who can understand the activities of your sweet will? Creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the universes are just aspects of your wonderful pastimes. Your might, ignited only by your desire, can destroy the entire cosmic manifestation. Is it not possible, then, for you to kill demons like Ravana and Kamsa with mere words? In spite of your ability, you appeared in the houses of King Dasarath and Sri Vasudev to kill these demons. Who can unravel the mystery behind your activities? Only you know your own sweet will. Simply by your desire, any one of your servitors can liberate all the innumerable universes. In spite of it, you descend yourself to teach religious principles to the people of the world and thus benedict them. In Satya Yuga, you appeared with a whitish complexion to teach the path of austerity and meditation by performing austerity yourself. To establish religious principles, you took the role of a celibate Brahmin with matted hair, carrying an antelope skin, mendicant's staff, and water pot. In Treta Yuga, you appeared in a beautiful reddish complexion as the Lord of Sacrifices to teach the religious practice of sacrifice. With Shruk and Shrava in hand, you yourself conducted the sacrificial rituals. In Dwarpa Yuga, you came with the transcendentally beautiful dark complexion of a monsoon cloud and established deity worship in every house. Wearing a yellow cloth and decorated with the Srivat sign, which is exclusively yours, you performed opulent deity worship. In Kali Yuga, you appeared as a learned Brahmin with a golden yellow complexion to disseminate the most confidential religious practice of congregational chanting of the Lord's holy name. You accept unlimited incarnations. Who has the power to count them? in your incarnation as the transcendental fish, Matsya, you came with the waters of annihilation. And as Kurma, the tortoise, you were the support of all living beings, holding the Mandara mountain. As Hayagriva, you preserved the Vedas and killed the two demons, Madhu and Kaitaba. As Varaha, the boar incarnation, you rescued the earth. And as Lord Nrsimhadev, you pierced and killed the demon Hiranyakashipu. As the dwarf incarnation, Lord Vamana, you outwitted the demon King Bali. As Parashuram, you rid the world of Kshatriyas, the fighting class. As Lord Ramachandra, you destroyed the demon Ravana. And as Lord Balaram, who holds the plow, you expanded unlimitedly. As Lord Buddha, you preached the religion of compassion and non-violence. And as Lord Kalki, you destroyed the degraded Malechas, those who do not follow the Vedic injunctions. As Lord Dhanvantari, you distributed the nectar of immortality, Amrita. And as Lord Hamsa, the swan incarnation, you spoke the knowledge of the Absolute to Lord Brahma and others. As Narada Muni, you held the veena and sang sweetly. And as Srila Vyasadeva, you explained the truth about yourself. Lord Krishna is above all the incarnations and their beautiful eternal pastimes. He eternally resides in Gokula with many variegated pleasure pastimes. In this present incarnation, you appeared as a pure, unalloyed devotee. You disseminated the knowledge of devotional service and chanted the holy name. The nectar of congregational chanting of the holy name drowned the entire universe in waves of bliss, and every house knew the process of love of Godhead. How can we describe the universal ecstasy aroused when you danced with all your devotees and servitors? Just by constant remembrance of your lotus feet, your pure devotees freed this world of all ills and inauspiciousness. The touch of their feet dispelled the dark omens of the world, and a mere glance from them purified all directions. O Lord Chaitanya, so glorious are your servitors that when they dance wonderfully with their arms raised, they remove all disturbances in the heavenly planets. O King, when Lord Krishna's devotees dance, accompanying the chanting of the Lord's name, the touch of their feet on the earth purifies the whole world. Their glance purifies all directions, and their upraised arms purify the higher planetary systems. O Lord Chaitanya, you are that self-same Supreme Personality, incarnated in person to perform congregational chanting and distribute love of Godhead with your devotees. O Lord, who possesses the words to describe your wonderful potency, to freely bestow the most confidential and hidden knowledge of the Vedas. O Lord, we ardently desire and pray for that sublime love of Godhead which you keep as a great mystery, offering liberation instead to spiritual aspirants. You are the spiritual master of the entire creation, and you distribute priceless wealth because of your magnanimity. The chanting of your holy name is the fulfillment of all religious rituals and sacrifices, yet you have personally appeared in Navadvip. O Lord, be kind upon us, so that we may be fortunate enough to see your wonderful activities in Navadvip. O Lord, you have fulfilled the innermost desire of Ganga Devi by sporting in her waters. Your exquisite transcendental form, which mystics and yogis envision in their meditations, has become manifest in Navadvip. I offer obeisances to the holy Navadvip Dham and the house of Sri Jagannath Mishra and Srimati Sachi Devi, where you made your divine appearance. In this manner, Lord Brahma and other demigods remained unseen while daily offering choicest prayers to the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Proprietor of the entire creation remained in the womb of Srimati Sachidevi, and on the full moon night in the month of Phalgun, he appeared. That full moon night was the summum bonum of all the auspicious holy occasions of the cosmic manifestation combined. The Supreme Personality descended, accompanied by the process of congregational chanting of the holy name. He propagated this process by practicing it himself. Who is able to know the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Lord? He arranged a lunar eclipse at the time of his birth. Upon seeing the lunar eclipse, the residents of Navadvip began to loudly chant the Lord's holy name and make other auspicious sounds. Endless teeming millions convulsed on the Ganga for holy ablutions and rent the air with loud chanting of the Lord's name. The tumultuous sound of their chanting penetrated the coverings of this material universe and traveled beyond Brahmaloka. All the saintly persons marveled at this wonderful chanting and prayed for a perennial eclipse. All the devotees experienced deep exhilaration and exclaimed, "Such great joy! Maybe the Supreme Lord Krishna is making his appearance." The devotees went to the Ganges for their ablutions, followed by the roar of chanting from all directions. Women, children, aged, pious and impious, everyone loudly chanted Lord Hari's holy name during the lunar eclipse. The only sound within the universe was the all-prevailing chanting of Hari, Hari. The demigods showered flower confetti everywhere and proclaimed victory as they beat clamorously on their dundubi drums. Amidst the resounding adulations, the Lord and the very soul of the universe appeared as the son of Srimati Sachidevi. The moon was eclipsed by Rahu. The ocean of the holy name inundated Navadvip, drowning and subduing the darkness of Kali Yuga. The Supreme Lord was manifest. All the 14 worlds resounded with the profound news. The moon-like Lord Chaitanya, Gauranga, had risen. The residents of Navanadia were freed from all sorrows just upon seeing the Lord. Their happiness and prosperity increased day by day. The roll of the dundubi drums, the trumpeting of thousands of conch shells, the shrill of flutes and horns accompanied Vrindavan Das's songs of praise to their lordships, Sri Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda Prabhu. His beautifully brilliant luster overshadowed the sun's shining rays and dazzled my eyes. His drawn-out, slightly drooping eyes defied description. The air was surcharged with joy. Lord Chaitanya had descended to the material world. One roaring sound of Lord Hari's name reverberated throughout the universe, beyond Brahmaloka, carrying the tidings of Lord Chaitanya's birth. His exquisite complexion was the color of sandalwood paste. His expansive breast was decorated with a gently swaying wildflower garland, and his iridescent moon-like face is pleasing, cooling, and comforting. His elongated arms reached down to his knees. Sounds of victory and praise permeated all directions, and the earth felt especially blessed at the advent of Lord Chaitanya. Some sang in great joy while others danced in ecstasy. But for Kali, it was a calamity in the midst of spiritual revelry. The crown jewels of all Vedic conclusions are the Supreme Lords, Chaitanya and Nityananda. Their causeless mercy made no discrimination between the ignorant or the derelict. I, Vrindavan Das, offer this song to them. The golden moon, Lord Chaitanya, had arisen as sounds of great joy filled the air. His beauty humbled a million cupids, and he smiled at his own dancing and singing. His lovely face and charming eyes added to the list of other marks of divinity on his transcendental person. His feet were marked with the signs of flag, lightning, etc. His entire exquisite form was decorated to enchant the minds of everyone. All fear and despondency was dissipated, and the world was shed with immense fortunes. I, Vrindavan Das, offer this song to my very life had risen, and Lord Nityananda. Were freed from it and sang in prayer upon seeing the Lord. Their hair and prosperity increased day by day. To extirpate all miseries. The trumpeting of thousands of conch shells, the shrill of flutes and horns, Brahma accompanied Vrindavan Das's songs of praise to their new forms, Sri Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda Prabhu. His beautifully brilliant luster overshadowed the sun's shining rays. I cannot fully describe their exultation. Millified description. The air was Sri Hari. Navadweep was in the grips of ascended to the Supreme Lord, the demigods, and the human beings had all come together to frolic with one another. Beyond Brahmaloka, carrying the tidings of Lord to Srimati Sachi Devi's house in the dark, his exquisite complexion, unseen by humans, fell to the ground and offered obeisances to Lord, was decorated with a gently swaying wildflower garland, strews pastimes of the Lord. Some broke out in types of glorification, some held the umbrella, and some fanned the Lord with a chamara. Praise permeated all directions, flowers in ecstasy, and still others sang and danced exuberantly. Some sang in great joy, his pure devotee danced in ecstasy. But for Kali, I, Vrindavan Das, sing the nectarine glories. The crown jewels of all nations are the Supreme Lord's Chaitanya's prayers. Their causeless mercy, discrimination between the ignorant or the that supreme. I, Vrindavan Das, offer this song to them. The golden moon, Lord Chaitanya, happy, risen, as sounds of great joy filled the air. His beauty humbled a million cupids, and he smiled at his own dancing and singing. His lovely face and charming eyes added. Had taken hex of divinity on his transcendental person. His feet were marked with the signs of flag, lightning. His entire exquisite form was decorated to enchant the minds of everyone. All fear and despondency was dissipated, and the world was shed with immense fortunes. I, Vrindavan Das, offer this song to my very life had risen, and Lord Nityananda. Were freed from it and sang in prayer upon seeing the Lord. Their health and prosperity increased day by day. To extirpate all miseries. The trumpeting of thousands of conch shells, the shrill of flutes and horns, Brahma accompanied Vrindavan Das's songs of praise to their new forms, Sri Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda Prabhu. His beautifully brilliant luster overshadowed the sun's shining rays. I cannot fully describe their exultation.